Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kyorkchiev.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. First, we will be going over the Chiefs versus Chargers Thursday night game, a game that you could argue is one of the games of the year. A lot of cool insight on that. After that, we're going to do a quick talk about Urban Meyer and the news of his firing. Next, we're going to be talking a little bit, just very briefly, about, you know, the COVID situation with all the games being canceled, not canceled, but being rescheduled. And then after that, for the main part of this episode, we will be talking about both of our top 10 receivers in this league. And then we will finish it off with some rapid fire predictions. You ready, Alex?
Oh, I am so ready, Michael.
Okay. So last night, like I said, we had one of the most exciting games of the year. We had Pat Mahomes' Chiefs going against Justin Herbert's Chargers. This was a game that I think everyone was excited to see. And when you have two super young, talented quarterbacks playing each other, you just never know what can happen. And especially a divisional game like this, one that could pretty much dictates who's going to win that division, whoever won this game. It was, you know, a high stakes game. And I think both teams really fought hard. In the end, obviously, the Chiefs won. But what were some takeaways, Alex, that you had from this game?
Well, before I get into that, you said that they were two teams led by some premier young quarterbacks. And to me, it's kind of crazy still to call Patrick Mahomes young. Like, I know he is young, but then after the career that he's had already, it's just crazy to think how young he is, because he feels like this grizzled vet, like 10-year veteran already. He won the Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl. He's had a down season this year. It feels like he was on the decline and now he's on a resurgence already, which obviously isn't true, but it just feels like it with all the things that have happened in his career. So the fact that he's still so young, he was drafted 4 or 5 years ago. It's just insane to me. But to get back into this Chargers game, I'm just really surprised Kansas City won it. It feels like the Chargers blew a few opportunities to really just pull away with the game and bury the Chiefs, at least for this week, but they just couldn't do it. They couldn't capitalize on the goal line, and that ended up being the difference in the game.
Yeah, like you just said, I think something we really need to emphasize is that the Chargers should have won this football game. They had multiple opportunities to either kick a field goal, score a touchdown, convert a really short fourth down conversion, and they just couldn't do it. And this was not Justin Herbert's fault. I just want to get that out there. Justin Herbert was, in fact, the better quarterback out there last night. He was, even though, you know, you look at the final stat sheet, Mahomes did run the numbers up in the last couple minutes of the fourth quarter, and he did score a couple very vital touchdowns. You know, that pass to Travis Kelce. Kelce did most of the work, but it was still a good pass. But still, Justin Herbert was definitely the more consistent and the better quarterback out there last night. And it really wasn't his fault. I would say, you know, I don't even think it's Brandon Staley's fault, honestly. A lot of people are blaming him for what went wrong with the Chargers. And I think he made the right calls. He made the right moves. I think when you're playing a team like, you know, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Patriots, any of the teams that have been the best in the league for the last decade, you can't just, you know, go conservative. You can't just, you know, get your field goals against them. You have to go for the risks. You have to go for the touchdowns, and you have to do what you can do to try to get the win. And the Chargers as a whole, the offense just didn't quite execute when they needed to.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense came up with a couple of huge stops, especially right before the half. Daniel Sorensen, who is definitely no superstar, came up with a huge pass defense on Justin Herbert, and Keenan Allen would have walked into the end zone, and Sorensen really saved them there. That was about to be a 17-14 game, if I recall correctly, or was it 21-10
that it would have been? It would have been 21-10 if they
scored. It would have been 21-10 if they scored, and not to mention on the first drive when they got stuffed at the one, that game could have very easily been 28-10 at halftime, and it's game over at that point, especially with the way the Chiefs have been this year. They haven't really been able to come back from those huge deficits that they've shown that they could do. Come back from in the past. That just hasn't felt like reality for the Chiefs this year. So those two stops were huge.
Yeah. And like I said, I do think Justin Herbert was the better quarterback, but I do want to, you know, highlight what Pat Mahomes did in that final minutes of the fourth quarter and in overtime. He really stepped up, and, you know, it was looking like a lost game for him. It was looking like he was going to get a lot of criticism after the game, at least into the early fourth quarter. It looked like he was going to get a lot of criticism after the game, but he really turned things around. And I think the image that he brought, you know, he pretty much won them the game with his play in the final minutes of the game. And I do think that, you know, the Chiefs were kind of looking like they were in trouble there for a minute. So it was definitely good what he did there. But I just think that the Chiefs need to play more consistent as a whole. We talked about the Chargers and some of their offensive shortages, but Pat Mahomes missed an easy fourth down touchdown at the goal line.
That was nuts.
Right to the ground.
That was insane. I wasn't really paying the closest of attention to that play. And so I looked up for a second and Mecole Hardman was in the end zone just waiting for the ball and he was wide open. And Mahomes was unpressured. So I was like, oh, touchdown. And then I looked down for a second, looked back up, the ball's on the ground. I'm like, huh? It was just so mind-boggling, that play. I don't get it. It just slipped out of his hands, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It slipped out of his hand. But still, I mean, you see some of the crazy, ridiculous, hard plays and passes that Mahomes is able to make. And then you watch him miss an easy pass like that. You know, you just have to question what's going on there. I mean, it's not like this happened one time this game. There was about four or five times when the ball either slipped or Mahomes just spiked through it right at the ground. And so that really cannot continue to happen. I mean, like I said, Mahomes is an elite quarterback. Herbert is an elite quarterback, but Herbert played much more consistent last night than Mahomes did. And that brings me to the question. This is a pretty big question, Alex. Hope you're prepared.
Oh boy.
Which quarterback is better, Alex, Pat Mahomes or Justin Herbert?
Come on. Come on. I mean, yes, Herbert's been playing amazing and played amazing last year too, but I'm still not sure that there's another quarterback I would take right now over Patrick Mahomes. It is a hot take in the moment, but once I really think about it, it's not really a fair question at all. It's unquestionably Mahomes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Alex. I agree with you there. And I actually disagree with one thing you said about you're not sure if there's any other quarterback. Right now, I think comfortably Aaron Rodgers may be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but, well, if I'm starting a team, I don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing.
Starting a team is different than taking the best quarterback in the league right now. Yeah, if you're looking
at Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Rodgers is on fire for sure.
And I think Mahomes at his best is the best quarterback in the league. Even with Rodgers playing how good he is, Mahomes just offers so much. His arm is ridiculous. Some of the throws and plays he makes, nobody else in this league can.
I have to say,
yeah,
Justin Herbert might have the best arm in the NFL, flat out.
That is actually true, though. Yeah.
Last week, there was the one pass to Jalen Guyton. I was in shock watching that. He threw the ball a good 80 yards downfield. It was outrageous.
No, and the way Justin Herbert's able to just zip it into tight windows, we saw last night, he had that touchdown pass to Keenan Allen on a very crucial conversion that they needed, right into the arms of Keenan Allen, two defenders around him. He got it right in that window where nobody else could have gotten it except for Keenan Allen. And there's not many quarterbacks who could have that much, you know, that pinpoint accuracy on such a zip pass. So Justin Herbert is definitely a special quarterback, special arm talent. He's in my top five for quarterbacks right now. And I think he should be in everybody's, honestly. I don't know where he is on your list, Alex, but Justin Herbert is the real deal. But I do want to say quickly that I think Mahomes is, you just can't put Herbert over Mahomes right now. Even with Mahomes having some, you know, a rough season, some rough games, making some bad decisions, Mahomes at his best is still just so special. And what he's done so far, you know, like you said, it's crazy that, you know, he's young because he's done so much. He already has 144 touchdowns.
That's insane.
And 18,000 passing yards. So if he continues to play at the pace that he started his career at, it looks like he may be the statistical
goat. I mean, this is the same guy that threw 50 touchdowns in his first year. So I don't know what we're so amazed about. This is kind of just what he does. But
yeah,
it's insane. It's insane.
It is insane. And like when you look at the numbers, it's like, you know, the only other guy I could think of who started that early and who was doing that well was Dan Marino. And for me, he's the fourth greatest quarterback of all time. I know he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but Dan Marino's incredible. So yeah, Mahomes is well on his way. And yeah, I mean, I think he deserves some credit for what happened last night. He was great, but he just needs to play a little bit more consistent.
He deserves some credit for maybe sinking my fantasy season. I was so excited. He was doing nothing the whole game until like 8 minutes left in the game. He went from 5 points with 8 minutes left, finished with 30. I was so mad.
What can you expect, man? What can you expect?
I did not get the worst of it. There's someone else in our league who was playing against Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And
yeah, by the way,
safe to say his season is over.
Both Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill both had incredible games. Travis Kelce with a career high in yards, 191 yards. It's ridiculous. And he, I think, very visibly last night, I have watched some Chiefs games recently, but for the first time, I actually realized that Travis Kelce is playing through an injury. And I don't think it's been made public. They're trying to keep it, you know, under wraps. But after every hit, he was wincing and holding his shoulder. And you could tell he's still affected by that. So, you know, he's gotten some, you know, criticism this year for not quite playing up to par. But, you know, he played great last night. And I think it's pretty evident that the dude is not 100% right now.
I think that's a fair point.
But yeah, that was a very interesting game, to say the least. One other question, Alex. Do you think the Chiefs have fully won that division now that they won this game?
Ooh. Way to put me on the spot there. I would have to say yes. I think it's late. It's too late in the season for the Chargers to really make a comeback, because they're 8-6. The Chiefs are now 10-4, two games up plus the tiebreaker. I think the Chiefs have it locked up. Right now, the Chiefs are the number one seed in the AFC, which is crazy to say after the discussions we were having earlier this season about, oh, is Kansas City cooked? And funny enough, we did say they were cooked, and look what happened. But I'd say Kansas City has it pretty safely locked up.
Yeah, and it's so crazy, you know. 8 weeks ago, we had that conversation, and we both were like, I don't know if Kansas City's making the playoffs anymore. You know, we both said that Pat Mahomes is incredible, and if the team could get itself together, then you can't count them out. But we both kind of thought that they were cooked, and they've won seven straight. And now they are, I mean, they're looking like they're going to be a force in the playoffs even. So the defense figured things out. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I do agree with you there. I think they won the division, and, you know, I think the Chargers do make the playoffs, but I don't think that they're going to be able to overcome that two-game lead that Kansas City has right now.
Yeah, the Chargers are the number one wild card spot right now, so they're very safely in the playoffs. Well, not very safely, because there are 5-7-6 teams in the AFC right now, plus the 8-6 Chargers. So they're definitely not safe for the time being, but they are in the number one wild card spot, for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I think they'll be fine. And I know they're not necessarily safe, but they've been playing well. I bet they'll win most of their upcoming games for the playoffs, so. Yeah. Okay. So that was a good talk about that Thursday night football game. The next news we have is something that we actually talked about last segment. Urban Meyer has just been fired, and it came with some news about the Josh Lambeau situation, which, if you haven't heard about that yet, Josh Lambeau basically, you know, came out to the public that in a preseason game, Urban Meyer went up to him and kicked him and told him to make his kicks. And you can't do that as a head coach. Urban Meyer was already on thin ice with all the other reports and all the other awful stuff that he's done and just how bad of a coach he's been this year. But that report coming out is what did it. And the Jaguars organization said, it's enough. We got to move on from him. So he has officially been fired. And I mean, like I said last episode, I think that, you know, this was definitely warranted. And I think that maybe they should have even done this sooner.
Yeah, if we were to go over all the things that Urban Meyer has done this year, we would be talking about him for a good two or three episodes. So there's not really too many specifics we could get into, but generally the vibe I get is that Urban Meyer felt like he was still a college coach and that he could micromanage all these grown men millionaires the way he could micromanage the unpaid college kids. And that's just not something you could get away with in the NFL. And he very, very understandably so was fired for it. Funny enough, we talked about that last week, and I said that I could not figure out what would happen. And it turned out he got fired the week after that. So I guess not so good call on my part.
I mean, you can't predict that this report would come out. We had no clue. If nothing came out, I don't know if he still would have gotten fired this early or even at the end of the season. But I really think that this is a great move for the Jags. I mean, like I said last week, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not a bust, but if Urban Meyer stayed the head coach for the Jaguars for years to come, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to develop into that quarterback that you drafted him to be. So I really think that they're now giving Trevor Lawrence a chance to maybe try to figure something out at the end of the year, maybe see if he could, you know, get back on his feet. You know, I mean, same with James Robinson. He had, you know, a rough start for the first couple games, and then, you know, he got injured, but now hopefully, you know, we could see if he could get back going on the ground. So yeah, I mean, I think this is just a great move for Jacksonville. Urban Meyer definitely had to get fired.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Now we're going to talk about some other news that happened before we started this, actually like an hour before we recorded this episode. News came out that 3 NFL games are getting postponed this week. Like last year, we saw games played on every day of the week, which was pretty funny, actually. There was a game on a Wednesday last year, Wednesday night football, real, real classic. And so this week we're going to have a Monday night doubleheader. The Browns at Raiders got postponed to Monday at 5:20. There's talk of the Seahawks versus the Rams getting moved to Tuesday. And there's also talk that Washington versus the Eagles is also getting moved to Tuesday. So we're going to watch some of the premier players play on Tuesday this week. And some of those players are going to be in our top 10 wide receivers list, which is what we're about to get into right now. Michael, we've already done this kind of format this year with our top 10 NFL teams. So we're going to follow the same thing. We're going to each say our number 10 receiver and kind of talk about them for a little bit and then go on the 9 and so on. So I'm going to go ahead and start. My 10th best receiver is going to be Terry McLaurin of the Washington football team, who happens to play on Tuesday this week. So the way I did my top 10 receivers, I got a list of every receiver that would be in contention, even in the slightest, for a top 10 spot. And then I just took off names until I had my 10 best, and then I reordered them. So McLaurin, I wasn't really sure about putting top 10, but there wasn't really anyone left for me that I would rather have over McLaurin. So he's kind of 10 by default, but Terry McLaurin is one of the premier receivers in this league. Since joining Washington in the 2019 draft in the third round out of Ohio State, he's put up numbers with, to be frank, bozos at quarterback. And the way he's a really good route runner, he's an amazing deep threat, and he has some really great hands too. And the way he's been able to elevate his quarterbacks, guys like Dwayne Haskins, Taylor Heinicke, who I have not been shy in my criticism of, he's made Taylor Heinicke look like a real NFL quarterback, even though Heinicke struggles to feed him. So McLaurin's ability to have really poor quarterback play and still manage to elevate those players, I think, has to put him at number 10.
I love Terry McLaurin. I just want to say that before I talk about, my number 10. I'm going to talk about Terry McLaurin a little bit. I do think that he has the ability to be a top 10 receiver. He just didn't quite make my list. And the reason why is because there are about 25 receivers in the league right now who you could argue could be in the top 10. That's how good receivers are right now in the NFL. There's so many good young receivers, so many guys putting up good stats, good numbers, who have good hands, good route running. It's pretty incredible. It's something that, you know, we haven't seen in past years in the NFL. So I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, if there's a guy who's not on one of our lists or both of our lists, it's not because the guy stinks. It's because there's so many other great and talented young receivers that, you know, it's just too much. You know, we had to narrow it down to the guys we thought were best. And as good as Terry is, I think that Washington team holds him back a little bit. he has elevated his quarterbacks. You know, like you said, very bad quarterback play. He has made the Eagles secondary look very stupid, very awful at some points when we've played them. So Terry McLaurin definitely is an honorable mention for me. Although at number 10, I have a guy who I think, you know, you could argue Terry maybe, you know, have a better career so far than this guy. But this guy, I think, is just more skilled than Terry is, just by a little bit. And that's CeeDee Lamb. Wow. I think CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver on the Dallas Cowboys. And I think he's proven that this year. He's just so versatile. He's so shifty. You could get the ball in his hand and he's a superstar. And I really think that if Dallas can get, you know, things figured out in the future, I think CeeDee Lamb could lead the league in receiving yards. He can, you know, put up records, honestly. He's a guy who, wow, as much as I hate to say it as an Eagles fan, I think he is incredible.
Those are some bold takes.
Records, yes. I mean, Alex, have you watched some Cowboys games this year? I bet you have.
I have watched a couple, yeah.
Yeah. Do you agree with me that CeeDee Lamb is the best player on that Dallas offense?
Oh, no. Ooh, on the offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll still give you that one. I thought you were going to ask me if I thought he's the best receiver on the team, which I no doubt believe. But on the offense, yeah, I would still have to give it to him. I don't know, though. I don't know. There's some fierce competition there.
And even though I just want to say he's so young. I mean, he's this young and he's already making the plays and doing the things that, you know, this year he's just been incredible. Doesn't quite have 1,000 yards yet, but he's going to get there very soon. And if Dak just keeps feeding him the ball, I think, you know, he's a guy who could put up 1,300, 1,400 yards every single year from now on.
He's just one of those guys that just pops off the screen. Like, he passes the eye test with flying colors. You could just tell he's a playmaker by watching him.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's just too many receivers in the league that are better than him at this current moment to put him in top 10. So I can't agree with your placement of him here.
It's fair. Although, I mean, I disagree with you there, but like I said, there's so many good receivers that, you know, you can't be mad at it.
I don't know about that statement that I can't be mad at it.
I'm just saying, like, but literally, like, I could argue, like, as crazy as this is, like, you could argue guys like, you know, Cortland Sutton, T. Higgins. You could argue guys like Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, Kenny Galladay when he's healthy. Like, I mean, I don't think these guys are top 10 yet or right now, but there are so many young receivers right now, and just not even young. There's so many receivers right now. Brandon Cooks, another guy who just being undervalued and who were great receivers, great players who you could argue could be top 10.
Come on, Brandon Cooks top 10, stop it.
Brandon Cooks is a great receiver, not top 10. Stop it. You could argue, like, you could really make a case for him if you wanted to.
He maybe like 5 years ago he was top 10. I just not anymore. I don't see it.
I mean, yeah, he plays for the Texans, so he's not getting as much shine as he should, not getting as much acknowledgement. But, I mean, he's putting up some really good stats this year. If Watson was throwing him the ball, I bet he would probably be over 1,000 yards already. He probably will go over 1,000 yards with Davis Mills as his quarterback, and that'll be, what, his 7th 1,000-yard season? So, I don't know. I mean, you can make a case. I'm just saying. I don't think he's top 10, but you can make a case.
He has been putting up some decent numbers this year. Speaking of putting up decent numbers this year, my number 9 receiver is someone who's been putting up very, very decent numbers this year. And I'm going to go with the wide receiver running back hybrid, Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is a one-of-a-kind player in the NFL. I have never seen anyone like him. The only one that I can kind of see the resemblance to is, funny enough, Kadarius Toney, I think, could evolve into a Deebo Samuel-esque player. Deebo Samuel with the ball is incomparable to anything else. He's just so shifty, yet so strong with the ball in his hands. He's virtually impossible to bring down unless you get him out of bounds. And that ball carrier ability combined with the creativity that Kyle Shanahan's scheme brings and all the different kinds of ways they can get him the ball proves to just be makes Deebo Samuel one of the premier weapons in the NFL, let alone receivers. I would take Deebo Samuel over multiple starting running backs if I was just playing him as a running back, let alone his ability to catch the ball. So with his ability to carry the ball and his versatility as a receiver, he's still a very, very good receiver along with his ball carrier abilities. He just has to be up there with the numbers he's been putting up this year.
I have to disagree with you there, Alex. And I do agree how important Deebo Samuel is as a weapon to that 49ers team. He's very versatile. Like you said, you can line him up at running back, give him snaps there. You can, you know, give him some nice screens. You could throw it deep to him. He could do everything. There's some other players who could do everything, but not quite at the level that Deebo can. So, you know, when it comes to versatility, you have to pretty much crown Deebo probably as, you know, Deebo and Cordarrelle Patterson is maybe the most
versatile offensive
players.
Absolutely.
I do agree there. I'm not going to argue with that because it's just true. He's very versatile. But when it comes to, you know, receiver abilities and, you know, like you said, you would take him over a lot of starting running backs. I just don't think he has the durability to, you know, be given that many carries. You know, even in the games where they did line him up at running back, he wasn't getting that many carries because he's not a running back. I just wanted to say that quickly. I mean, he's very fast and he's very good after contact and, you know, after the catch. But I just don't think that, you know, I wouldn't take him personally over any running backs just for the durability issues. And then as a receiver, I do think he's a very special player, but I think a lot of people are, you know, overlooking that the 49ers have been in a really rough situation this year. I really don't think that Deebo is the best player on that offense. I think George Kittle's better than Deebo Samuel is. And I think that George Kittle being hurt, Brandon Ayuk being benched, and that whole running back situation with just a lot of guys being hurt or just being mediocre has opened up Deebo to have a monster season. And while he has been top 10 this season, I just don't think he's a top 10 receiver. He's very talented. Like I said, you could use him as a weapon pretty much anywhere, but I don't think that he's the type of guy who you want as a wide receiver one. I would rather have a guy who you could pretty much play there every single snap, who could go up, make the tough grabs. You know, I think Deebo has, you know, excelled a lot this year. He's improved a lot this year, but he's not in my top 10. I probably have him around 15. I'd rather have guys like Metcalf, AJ Brown, McLaurin,
Metcalf.
Any of those guys. Yep.
No.
DK. Yes.
No.
I really think that, you know, when healthy Kittle, healthy Eli Mitchell, or healthy Mostert, healthy Ayuk, who's not being benched, I really don't think Deebo is going to outshine all of those guys. I don't think he's better than Kittle. I think Ayuk, while he's not as versatile or not as good as Deebo is, I think Ayuk could put up comparable numbers to Deebo in more of a traditional wide receiver role.
Oh, come on.
I'm
Ayuk's no. Cool at all, but like, seriously? Nah.
I'm being serious.
No shot.
I am being completely serious. And I think, you know, we have to keep in mind when Deebo got moved to running back, Ayuk had a couple big games. With Deebo not quite playing receiver,
against
George Kittle went off
Jaguars.
150 yards in two straight games.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you that George Kittle is the best player on that offense. That's very visibly obvious. But Deebo is a close second.
I don't know about close. I think George Kittle is easily the most valuable and the best player on that offense.
Yeah.
That's not debatable. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I like Deebo. He's 15th for me on my personal rankings. I just don't have him in my top 10. And I think a lot of people disagree with me, I know, but not quite in my top 10.
You know what? After seeing what he's done in the past, I can see why you're hesitant to put him in the top 10, because this is his only really huge superstar season.
Yeah.
So I could see where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, there's so many other great guys. Another great guy who has been great for many years straight is Mike Evans. Mike Evans is my number 9 receiver. And, you know, it was kind of hard for me to put Evans on this list because I feel like he gets outshined by Chris Godwin, by AB when he's on the field, by Gronk sometimes. But Mike Evans is just a model of consistency. He's a big-bodied receiver. He could do whatever you need him to do. I don't think the Bucs use him quite like they should, but, you know, he's one of the leaders in touchdowns this year. He will be every single year with Bruce Arians as his coach because of the way they use him. And, you know, he's had now 8 straight years of a 1,000-yard season. So, yeah, I mean, that's just incredible. I think he needs to be in everyone's top 10, at least, you know, at the bottom half of it. And at 9, I think is a good spot for Mike Evans.
Yeah, I definitely like your spot of 9 for Mike Evans, considering Mike Evans is my number 8. But Mike Evans, I do agree with you that he gets kind of overshadowed on this Bucs offense, especially the way Brady likes to spread the ball around. There are games where Mike Evans, his stat line is like 4 catches for 3 yards and 12 yards. For 4 catches for like 12 yards and 2 touchdowns. And games like that kind of get him overlooked. And it's just unfair considering how many straight seasons he's put up 1,000 yards. And just he's been consistent and putting up like Randy Moss records, I think, is the only other. He might have even broken Randy Moss's record for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
Oh, he did. That's what I'm saying. Mike Evans owns that record.
Yeah, and it's just unfair the kind of hate he gets for not always having these giant superstar games. And so, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I have him 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what you said there. My number 8 is a guy who we haven't seen play in a very long time, but you can't not have him in your top 10, and that's Michael Thomas. And I do want to have Michael Thomas higher. I really do. But like I said, I couldn't put him any higher based on, you know, that he has not seen the field at all this year. And he barely saw it last year. So, you know, but this was a guy who we saw have one of the best seasons of the decade in 2019 when he had that offensive player of the year season, put up 1,700 receiving yards, broke the catch record and 9 touchdowns. He's a receiver who I think will hit free agency and will be heavily sought after by every team in the league. And he's a guy who I think could very easily be in the top 3 right now if he was on the field. So, not much more for me to say on Mike Evans. Do you have any opinions on him, Alex?
You know what? I'm starting to see a trend here between us because Michael Thomas is my number 7 right now. And I fully agree with the sentiment that he would be top 3 right now if he had played recently and if he didn't have these injury concerns. Michael Thomas, he got injured at the beginning of last season and just kept re-injuring that same ankle and then chose not to get surgery until really late in the year for whatever reason. And he got himself out for all of this year. So we just haven't seen him play. And we haven't seen him play without Drew Brees, really. So I think that, and there's been some drama there in New Orleans with him. So I think that if we see a change of scenery for Michael Thomas, he'll be right back there up with like the likes of the top 3 receivers. And I just can't wait to see that happen because I was a huge Michael Thomas fan when he was on the field. So like there is the joke slant boy, but those are not justified. I would like to set the record straight. Those are not justified. And Michael Thomas is one of the best receivers in the league, but just because of the fact that he hasn't played in about a year and a half, I just cannot have him any higher than 7.
Yeah. If, you know, after that 2019 season, if we take 2019 Michael Thomas and put him on this list right now, I would have him at 2. And I think he could very easily be number 3 right now too. So we just need to see him play. That's really what it comes down to. I think Michael Thomas will make a dramatic jump up both of our lists once we see him actually play football again. And with that, my number 7 is a guy who we saw play last night, Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen is one of the most underrated technical receivers in the league right now. He's a guy who just isn't that fast. He ran a 4.17 40, which is very not good for a starting receiver, but he makes up with it with how crisp, with how sharp his route running is. He has great hands. He's very dependable. He's a guy who, you know, if you need a first down, you're throwing it to him. And Justin Herbert has loved having Keenan Allen on his team. What a great weapon for a young quarterback to have. And, you know, Mike Williams has made a push this year to, you know, he started out putting some big games, putting up some big numbers. But Keenan Allen just has proven game in and game out that he's the most consistent receiver on that team. And you could argue the most consistent receiver in this league. Every single year, he's putting up like around over 1,000 yards, around 8 touchdowns, 6 to 8 touchdowns. He's a guy who will always have around 100 catches. And he's a guy who, when healthy, is, you could argue, is a top 5 receiver. I don't think he's quite there, but I think he should be in everyone's top 10 list just based off of how good of a route runner is and how good of a technical receiver he is.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give you a little spoiler here. He is not in my top 10. He was one of the last names that went before the top 10 was kind of cemented for me. But I do agree with you that he is like the perfect receiver to have for a rookie quarterback, because the work he does in the slot, he's just consistently open. He catches everything, and he's easily the best receiver on his team. You talked about Mike Williams and his start to the season. Mike Williams is the same receiver he's always been. He's very boom bust and inconsistent. It just so happened that in the beginning of this season, he had like four straight great games. So everyone kind of thought that he made that jump, and then he went right back to what he always is with the two catches for 30 yard type games. And so it just so happened that he strung together a few big games, so everyone thought that he made the jump. But Keenan Allen is unquestionably the best receiver on his team. And I think this is a little too high for him, personally, considering some of the other superstar talents that are there. But I think that if you had him like 9 or 10-ish, that would be fair. But this is just too high for me. I think
he gets overlooked a lot because he's not that fast, you know. He's missing that full aspect of his game. He doesn't have the explosive aspect that most of these other receivers in our top 10s have. You can't expect Keenan Allen to take a ball and take it up the field 60 yards for a touchdown. He's not going to do that. But I think he's just, you could argue, is the best guy at, you know, when you're trying to throw the ball short, you're trying to get a guy who's going to catch every single ball, who's going to get open every single play, no matter what. I think, you know, there's nobody on this list. There may be one or two guys I would take over him to do that type of work. And I think a lot of people undervalue him. I think, you know, where I have him at 7, I think that's a really good spot. But yeah, I mean, I do understand what you're saying there a little bit.
At number 6 here, I have someone that I would really compare to Michael Thomas, but I only have him over Michael Thomas right now because he's done what Michael Thomas has done just more recently. At number 6, I have a little bit of a hot take here. I got Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is putting up a historic season right now, and he's doing just Michael Thomas things from 2 years ago. They both feast in the intermediate routes. They both feast in the short routes, and they're just target hogs. They catch everything that you throw their way, and they're just always open and reliable. They will catch whatever you throw at them, and insane volumes. So just the fact that Cooper Kupp is doing that this year and has shown the ability to be healthy, which Michael Thomas has not shown recently, it has to be Cooper Kupp here at number 6 for me. But with the 5 guys that I have over him, I think they're just bigger stars than Cooper Kupp. I would rather have them on my team than Cooper Kupp.
And yeah, like you said earlier, it just feels like we just keep running into these trends where we keep putting the same people. And number 6, I have Cooper Kupp. And I mean, you really, there's no words to describe how incredible his season has been. And, you know, it's very likely now, seeing what, you know, after the great game that he had in week 14, it's very likely that Cooper Kupp is going to break Calvin Johnson's receiving yard record, which is just ridiculous. But
that is insane.
I do want to say that I think, you know, him playing in the slot, him not playing against, you know, some of the best corners in the league for, you know, most of the time that he's on the field, I can't put him in the top 5 just yet, especially since I don't think he's the most talented or the best receiver in the league right now. He's just not. I mean, he's putting up those numbers, but it's more so the way he's being utilized. But I think, you know, you can't put him outside of your top 10 just based on how good he's been this year. And like you said, he's doing Michael Thomas things, but just he's being healthy. So that's why he's in front of Michael Thomas. But I agree with you there. I agree with what you said about Kupp. Number 6 is a great spot to have him just out of your top 5.
Yeah. For me here at number 5, I'm going back-to-back hot takes. Well, to some, this might not be a hot take, but I know to you it is. Number 5, I've got one of the premier young receivers in the league. In fact, I would go as far as to say the premier young receiver in the league. I have Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings. Justin Jefferson has been putting up some major numbers recently, especially with Adam Thielen injured. And he has shown that he felt disrespected by the Philadelphia Eagles for not taking him at 21st overall in the 2020 NFL draft. Justin Jefferson has proven that he is so much more than a slot receiver that he was rumored to be coming out of the draft. And he is the one of the best, if not the best, deep threat in the NFL right now. And the flashiness that he does it, he's just one of those guys that pops off the screen again. And the way he's carrying that Vikings offense right now, along with Dalvin Cook, I feel that Kirk Cousins is not in the top 10 or 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, and that he gets a lot of help from his receivers. So it's got to be Jefferson here. The other guys that are, I have above him, they're just more established than him. I just can't put him higher than five.
Oh yeah. So I disagree with this, Alex. And you said, like, you know, to me, it's going to be a hot take. Yeah, this is going to be a hot take for me. I can't have him at five. He needs to be higher than that, or lower than that on our list. I'm in my opinion, I think Justin Jefferson is solidifying himself as one of the best receivers in this league. I'm not going to spoil where I have him on my list, but you know, you could argue has had the greatest start to a career of any receiver in NFL history. He put up 1400 yards and 7 touchdowns in his, you know, first season, 2020. He was incredible. And he wasn't even the wide receiver one that year. I mean, at least going into it, Thielen was ranked higher than him on the depth chart. Jefferson only really started starting in week 3. So 1400 yards and 7 touchdowns in only really like 12 games started is ridiculous. And then, you know, you don't think he's going to have a better year than that in his sophomore year. I mean, how could you? But he's on pace to blow that away and have around 1600 yards and 10 plus touchdowns. So I just think Justin Jefferson's incredible. You know, he does everything you want him to do. He's big. He plays bigger than he is. He, you know, isn't a guy he's not the fastest receiver in the league, but he plays so quick. His route running is so incredible. He could get open whenever you need him to. And his hands are pretty incredible too. I mean, he has had some bad drops this year, but you know, I think those are just concentration drops. His hands are really incredible. You see him make some of the most difficult catches of any receiver in the league. So, you know, as I do get that some of the guys that you have above him are more established, but Justin Jefferson is playing at a higher level than them right now. And he's much younger than them. He's only going to get better. I really do think Justin Jefferson has the potential to be one of the greatest receivers in NFL history. One, if he could stay healthy. And two, if, you know, Minnesota can, you know, maybe start winning some games. And if they can continue this, keep this passing attack up with whatever quarterback they have in the future, if they can keep getting him the ball, I truly believe that he will be one of the greatest receivers of our generation and of all time.
Jeez, of all time.
He's incredible, Alex. I mean, he's outproducing what Odell did in 2014 and 2015.
I was going to say, we were saying the same things about Odell a few years ago.
Yeah, and Odell, I still think, I mean, if he stayed healthy, I still think that we would be talking about him as, you know, potentially one of the greats. So I just think Justin Jefferson needs to be higher on your list, but I do understand what you're saying. I think Justin Jefferson will prove you wrong even in the future. I think he'll move up higher on your list even by the end of the season. I think you'll have him at 3 or 4 probably. But yeah, my number 5 guy is a guy who I think really broke out last year, has had a little bit of an off year for him at least, but Stephon Diggs. He's a guy who does everything you need out of an elite receiver. He's very fast, great route runner, Josh Allen's go-to target. And like I said, a little bit of a down year, but you can't really, you know, put that on him. Josh Allen hasn't been quite as good as he was in 2020. Diggs is a guy who's just super reliable. You know, he'll make some tough catches sometimes. Isn't the best guy for, you know, 50-50 balls, but he's a guy who will just get open. And, you know, he's a good deep threat. He's good at everything. There's not much to say about him. But the guys in front of him, I just think are a little bit better. So I have him at 5. I think that's a good spot for him.
I'm not going to get too far into Stephon Diggs here because I have some other things to say about him later, but I definitely think that it's a little too low for him. But anyway, at number 4, this was my main competition for Jefferson here. He's had a really rough season this year and recency bias almost caused me to put Jefferson above him, but the history that this guy has just kind of elevated him above Jefferson right now because he's been doing it for so much longer than Jefferson. So I ultimately gave my number 4 receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, the benefit of the doubt. Hopkins has had a really rough year this year. He's been injured, and even when he's healthy, he hasn't been getting that many targets from Kyler Murray. But his body of work with Houston and Arizona, last year he had a great year with Arizona, along with his incredible years with Houston, just gave him the number four spot over Justin Jefferson for me. DeAndre Hopkins has some of the best, if not the best, hands in the entire league. And he's made some incredible catches over the years. That one catch against Pittsburgh on Christmas the one year is still ridiculous to me every time I watch it. I can't believe he didn't fall out of the end zone, and he managed to keep his feet in bounds. But he is the model of reliability. He will catch anything that you throw at him. He will beat anyone one-on-one. Even if the person covers him well, he'll still catch it over his head. And the numbers, along with the eye test, the raw skill from DeAndre Hopkins, just has to keep him in the top five for me, above guys that haven't been doing it as long, like Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, so if you know me, Alex knows me, DeAndre Hopkins has been my number one receiver in this league for, I would say, probably 4 or 5 years. And this is the first year. I mean, last year at the end, I kind of was like, maybe not. But yeah, this was the first year where he has slipped out of my number one and my number two slot. So it's pretty crazy. And I think that's just because he's been injured. You know, you said even when he's healthy, he's not getting the targets. I think DeAndre Hopkins has only been healthy for 1.5 games this year. You know, we saw him go out of the game, head out of the game in the beginning of the second quarter in week two, and he came back, but that's when the injury started coming for him. And even when he's been playing full games, it doesn't seem like he's playing 100% at all. I would say he's more so playing 50%. So, you know, that explains the sharp decline in numbers, but even so, he still has 8 touchdowns this year. I mean, he's out for the rest of the season. I'm pretty sure it just came out that he's not coming back, but at least for the regular season. But
yeah, he's going to be back for the playoffs.
8 touchdowns in the short times and the short amount of, you know, targets and minutes he's been getting in each game. I mean, that's pretty incredible. He's still making great plays, even, like I said, at like 50 and 60% health. He's making incredible plays. And yeah, he has the best hands in the league. So I think DeAndre Hopkins still needs to be in everybody's top five. And he's at my number four. So, I mean, I just talked about him a little bit. I think he's higher if he's healthy, but just the health and, you know, the inconsistency with that this year moves him down from 1 or 2 for me to number 4. And I think he'll move back up again next year, but he's at my number 4 right now.
We are making some great agreements this episode. Yeah. And by process of elimination, I think we are in agreement again at the number 3 spot, where I have Tyreek Hill for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, we talked about Tyreek Hill already. Tyreek Hill has the ability to put up some monster games, but also kind of put up some duds but that's just the nature of the Chiefs offense to me. And Tyreek Hill is just a playmaker. They have some really creative ways of getting him the ball in Kansas City with Andy Reid's mastermind of when it comes to offense. And Tyreek Hill is a huge benefactor of having Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Tyreek Hill is quite possibly the fastest player in the NFL, and the way he gets to burn people with that speed allows for some beautiful plays to watch. The way he gets behind the entire defense, and we saw it firsthand against the Eagles this year. He had a ridiculous game against the Eagles. He is prone to making some mistakes that cause turnovers. There's been multiple plays this season where the ball just bounces off his hands and into the defender's hands. But ultimately, I still think that he has to be viewed as a top 3 receiver. We saw his talent on full display in the Super Bowl the year they won against San Francisco on that jet chip wasp, I believe was the play, the name of the play, where he got open after a few seconds, and that ultimately won them the Super Bowl. So Tyreek Hill has to be in the top 3 for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like you said, we're in agreement. Hill is my number 3. And I was debating putting him at 5, actually, a week or two ago when I was thinking of doing this segment. I was debating on putting him at like 5 or 6 because he's really had an off year. And I'm not going to get too far into that, but I just want to say, because of the way, you know, the Chiefs have had to be more conservative, more checkdowns, Tyreek Hill has not been the deep threat that he's been in past years. And it's not because he's, you know, he's still the fastest guy in the league, but he's just not being utilized like that. He's not even in the top 10 for most deep targets and most, you know, long catches this year. And, you know, that's a big, that's the major part of his game that makes him so special. So, and he's also had some drops that have led to interceptions. He just hasn't looked like the Tyreek Hill we've known in past years, but when he's playing 100%, you know, last night he played great. When, you know, Patrick Mahomes forces him the ball, can get him the ball in space, there's nobody better than Tyreek Hill. He's so fast, so explosive. You know, like you made many great points about him. I don't think you could take him outside of your top five just based on how good he is he's at his best. And three is a great spot for him, especially with Hop being hurt, Michael Thomas being hurt, you know, the whole scene of the, you know, wide receiver right now, how everything's going on. I think three is where he belongs.
All right, so I kind of alluded to this earlier, but my number two has got to be Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is the quintessential wide receiver in today's NFL. He's shown all his versatility between his time in Minnesota and Buffalo. In Buffalo, he proved that he could be the number one guy. He could beat man coverage one-on-one easily. He could take the full workload of a number one receiver with over 100 targets and put up major numbers. I had him in fantasy last year. I got him in like the fifth round. It was a steal. But anyway, and in Minnesota, he proved that he could play second fiddle to someone like an Adam Thielen and be more of a deep threat and a complementary piece of that offense, which ultimately got him out of Minnesota because he felt that he could be a number one receiver, which he proved that he could be in Buffalo. And the guy just gets open. He burns people in man coverage. He victimized J.C. Jackson in New England last year, which was very, very fun to watch. So it just has to be Stephon Diggs to me at number two, which with the wide receivers, it's kind of Stephon Diggs to me is kind of number one because Davante Adams is in his own tier. And spoiler, we both have Davante Adams number one because you can't have anyone else there. So to me, out of all the wide receivers in the NFL, Stephon Diggs is number one and then Davante Adams.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too far into this talk, but I just want to say Justin Jefferson comes into the Minnesota Vikings and outproduces all of what Stephon Diggs did as the wide receiver two in Minnesota, plays better than Stephon Diggs ever did as a Minnesota Viking as a rookie. So there's that. And then I want to say this year with a better quarterback, Stephon Diggs has, I believe, yeah, almost 300 yards less Jefferson has.
Hold on, buddy. You got to take into consideration the ability of the run games of these two teams. One team has Dalvin Cook. The other doesn't run the ball.
Josh Allen actually runs the ball. He's their running back. But no, I mean, yeah, you do have to take some things into consideration. But Justin Jefferson is as good of a route runner as Stephon Diggs. I mean, you could argue Diggs is better, but they're both the best of the best at route running. Diggs is maybe a little bit faster, but Justin Jefferson is very quick. Justin Jefferson is better at, in my opinion, jump balls or, you know, when you have one-on-one 50-50 balls, Justin Jefferson's the guy you want there. He's bigger than Diggs. I think he's a little bit more of a red zone threat than Diggs is, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. I can't justify Diggs being over Jefferson in my, like, just based on how they've been both these 2 years. Justin Jefferson has outplayed Stephon Diggs over the last 2 years. And so that's just my opinion there. I do like what you said. Diggs is very important. He's a great receiver. He has to be in your top five. Like I said, he's my number five. But Jefferson at two, I think he should be at number two, and that's where I have him. I can't stop praising him. I think he's great. And yeah, I mean, I don't think I have much more to say on that.
Look, I'm with you here on Jefferson. It's just to me, and while it's a little unfair to Jefferson himself, I just haven't seen it for long enough to justify putting him over these guys like Diggs and Tyreek Hill and DeAndre Hopkins. Next year, he very well could be in that same spot for me, number two, but I just have not seen it for long enough.
I just don't think that's a fair thing to say, though, when it comes to Jefferson, especially when, you know, his 2020 season is better than all of Diggs' seasons except for Diggs' 2020 season. And it looks like his 2021 season is about to be better than all of Diggs' seasons ever and over his whole career. So I just think, you know, usually I'm with you there about, you know, being too premature to call these young guys better than guys who've been established in their roles. But just Jefferson has been so great. I think he needs to be over Diggs. But I'm not going to talk about that too long. I think we both have differing opinions, and we both agree that both of those guys are fantastic receivers. They're phenomenal. Both teams need those receivers on them. And so, yeah, I mean, that's all I'm really going to say on that. Like you said, though, Davante Adams, number one, he's in a tier of his own.
And, it's unquestionable. You know,
we saw what he did in 2020 with Rodgers playing out of his mind. You know, Davante Adams put up 18 touchdowns. It seemed like nobody could guard him. His release is just like, it's out of this world. I don't think I've ever seen a receiver with as good of a release as Davante Adams. And I'm just going to say that might be a hot take, but I think Davante Adams may have the best release in NFL history with what he's doing right now. He's huge. He has pretty good hands. Actually, not pretty good hands. He has great hands, great route running, very fast. He's just super dependable. And the Packers are very lucky to have him as their wide receiver one, although I don't think he's staying at Green Bay. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But he's the unquestionable wide receiver one.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there with those takes, especially about the release. We haven't seen guys like Jerry Rice play, but it just feels like he's the best of all time there. Him and Rodgers have this telepathic connection where Adams is just always in the spot that Rodgers needs him to be. And I am a huge Davante Adams fan. So I've watched a fair amount of Davante Adams over the last couple of years, and he's incredible. He's incredible. So that concludes our top 10 wide receivers in the league. So why don't you get us started on some rapid fire game predictions here, Michael?
Okay. And we're going to do these very rapid fire. Okay. Let's see. So, first game up, we got the Patriots versus the Colts. This is a very exciting game. I don't know what's going to happen. Actually, but I do. I got the Patriots in this one. Wow. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I got the Patriots by around a score. I just think they've been so good on defense. I think they'll find a way to neutralize Jonathan Taylor. I think they win another one, and I think the Patriots are one of the best teams in the AFC. So I got them in this one.
That's fair. So last week when we did this, I made myself look incredibly stupid. I predicted some major upsets of really bad teams beating really good teams. So I'm going to go ahead and not do that again. And luckily for me, I got an easy one. I got the Bills beating the Panthers very comfortably.
Nice. And with this next one, Cardinals versus Lions, you know who I'm taking. I'm taking the Detroit Lions. Just kidding. Ha ha. I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals. I think they are going to destroy the Detroit Lions. I don't even know by how much, but 3 or 4 scores on this one.
You joke, but I picked the Lions to beat Broncos last week, and that did not go so well. I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last week and pick the Jets again. I got the Dolphins beating the Jets by multiple scores.
Cowboys, Giants. I think we all know who's winning this one. Cowboys take this one and win 38-10.
Wow, that is a huge blowout. Yep. Next, I've got the Titans versus the Steelers. I think this will be a close one, but the Titans ultimately win by a field goal.
Okay, bold. This next one, we have the Texans versus the Jaguars. Honestly, this is a pretty awful game, but I got the Houston Texans in this one.
No.
I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game, but no head coach. I think it's going to take a week or two for the Jaguars to start figuring things out again. Without Urban Meyer, even though he's awful. So, yeah,
Texans. Oh, I disagree with that one. Next, I've got the Bengals at the Broncos, and I've been very vocal in how I don't think the Broncos are any good. So, I'm going to go Bengals by a touchdown.
Okay. Next one, we got Cordarrelle Patterson's Falcons versus Deebo Samuel's 49ers. Very interesting matchup, although I think we all know who should win this one. And I'm going to pick them. It's the 49ers. I think the 49ers win this one pretty comfortably. 10-13-point win for the 49ers.
Next one I've got is my Super Bowl team, the Packers at the Baltimore Ravens. The record suggests that this one should be pretty close, but the Ravens are missing a huge amount of players. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Packers are going to win by multiple scores.
Okay. Next one, we got the Saints versus the Buccaneers. And I think it should be no surprise to anybody that I have the Bucks in this one. I don't think the Saints stand a chance. I'm not even going to guess the score. It's just happening. Bucks are winning this one.
Next, I've got one of the postponed games. I got the Raiders at the Browns on Monday night. Well, Monday evening, I should say. And I'm going to go ahead and say that the Raiders are going to win because of all the players the Browns are missing from COVID. They might have to start Nick Mullins. So, can't pick them.
Wow, okay. This next one, extremely hot take. I don't even know if I believe it, but Vikings-Bears, I got the Bears in this one.
Oh, geez.
And I know. I mean, the Vikings should win this one with their record. I just think the Bears upset win in this one, you know. I think that it's a very low-scoring game, but I think the Bears find a way to somehow win it.
I'm going to go ahead and finish my part of these picks off with our favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles. They play against the Washington football team on Tuesday night, and with the amount of players Washington has lost to COVID, as much as I want to pick against the Eagles, I have to go with the Eagles because of how depleted Washington is.
Okay, and with the last game of the week, another game that got moved to Tuesday night, Seahawks versus Rams, a lot of COVID spreading around. But, you know, I got the Rams in this one. I don't think you can really choose against them, even with some players out. You know, the Seahawks, you know, they won their last game, but I just can't pick them over the Rams. I got the Rams in this one.
All right.
And so that concludes our rapid fire predictions, and that concludes our episode. Thank you so much for listening. We had a lot of fun with this one, a lot of debate, but I think it went really well. I hope you enjoyed. And yeah, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.